Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
I have a purpose and a goal I hope that we can accomplish in our thought tonight. And that is that we might learn to get and keep things in proper perspective. That we might be able to keep things on balance. And that is very important when we come to the admonition to rightly divide or handle aright the word of truth. We have to keep things in the same balance as Scripture presents them. Now let me introduce this thought by reminding us that it is often said that no two people are just alike. And I think that certainly must be true, and we're all sort of glad that it is that way. It sort of would be monotonous, wouldn't it, if everybody was just a clone of everybody else. And we're so different in so many different ways. Well, you can just look around and see that. Some are tall, some short. Some are young, some are just a little bit older. Some are rather quick in their movements. Others are more, well, I started to say slow, I should say cautious and deliberate. And we just have different mannerisms about us. But those physical differences are not so important, but there is something where there is considerable important differences. And that's in the realm of people's thinking and their viewpoint and their outlook on things. And particularly is that true when it comes to matters of religion. And we see manifested these differences in the fact that there are many different churches. There are many different religious doctrines. There are many religious practices that vary one from another. And all of this simply does demonstrate that there's a wide variance in the way that people look at things. And brethren, it is important what we believe. It is important what we do in practice. There is a right and there is a wrong. Now that very concept right there is not very popular in our world and in our society and in religion generally, but it's still nonetheless true. And therefore it matters whether we be right or whether we be wrong. Now I want us tonight to just look at one particular area where there is a difference of thinking and difference of viewpoint, where really and truly it would be, it is so necessary that there be unity. And that is concerning Christ, the person, and Christ with His doctrine. Now the difference exists like this, that there be those that would emphasize Christ the person, and they should. They emphasize His nature, His characteristics, His gentleness, His kindness, His power, even His wrath. They talk about all of these things about the person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that has to be preached, because there's so much in the New Testament about that very theme. There'd be some that would emphasize that to the exclusion of almost everything else. And they will admonish us this way: preach Christ and leave doctrine alone. Now, I think it's fair to say that there be those that advocate this. Many times they're very religious, they're very pious, many of them are very sincere. Oftentimes they're very highly emotionalized people. But you know, brethren, is somewhat tragic, but it's nonetheless true, that there are those that have a complete disregard for the teaching of Christianity, for the doctrine that Christ has taught. They would de-emphasize the nature and the structure and the organization of the church. They wouldn't place too much emphasis upon how one does become a Christian, because there are certain doctrinal matters. Now, we have to keep in mind that anything that is taught is a doctrine, but we're talking about those doctrines where there are rules, where there are laws, where there are commands, where there are do's, where there are don'ts. There'd be some that would never emphasize God's pattern for New Testament worship. Because to them, that's form and that's ceremony and that's ritual, and therefore we ought to leave that alone, and other doctrinal matters as well. They wouldn't bother about whether baptism is sprinkling or immersion or pouring. Just preach Christ and preach His love. But all of these other matters, they're just divisive. And we best just ignore them or put them certainly in a position of lesser importance. And brethren, that is the dominating attitude of the denominational world. Because there are many people in the denominational world that would contend, so long as you're honest and so long as you're sincere, that whatever doctrine you might hold on a particular thing, that's not too important. It's all right, because doctrine is not important. The important thing is Christ and the belief in Christ and the love of Christ. And they emphasize that almost exclusively. But doesn't that remind you a statement that Jesus taught and is recorded for us in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, when He reminded His hearers of something that the prophet Isaiah had said? "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Well, how can you know, Lord, that their heart is far from you? Do not they speak of you? They do. Do not they believe you? They do. Do they not have glowing words of honor toward you? They do. Are they not religious? They are. But He says, their heart is far from me, and the reason that He knew what that was the next verse. "But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Now, nobody can read that passage of Scripture and ever accuse our Lord of minimizing the importance of doctrine. He did not scold them or condemn them because they honored Him with their lips. But He wanted their heart, and the way that one knows whether his heart is truly converted to and committed to Christ is, what do you do with what He taught? And what kind of doctrines do you uphold? Do you uphold the doctrine, the singular, of Christ, or the doctrines of men? To our Lord, doctrine made a tremendous difference. But while there be those on the one side that would emphasize Christ and de-emphasize what Christ taught, like a pendulum that swings all the way over to something else, and there are those that would so emphasize the law of Jesus Christ, so emphasize His commands, so emphasize doctrine, so emphasize ritual, which is involved, there is ceremony in Christianity, so emphasize the do's and the don'ts that the Lord has said, they seldom really focus on Christ the person. They really don't focus very heavily upon God the Father. They don't place a great deal of emphasis maybe upon the love of God and upon the grace of our Lord and His mercy toward us. Now to them, Christianity appears to be, and they leave the impression that, being a Christian is simply conformity to a group of laws and rules. It consists of faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, eating the Lord's Supper, vocal music, some things like that. And these sort of things loom so large in their eyes, and they are large, but they loom so large that it almost obscures their view of the person, Jesus Christ. And there is seldom, with those who have that kind of concept, that Christianity is just rule-keeping, that they don't really focus on the Savior Himself. The way they talk sometimes, you'd think that they'd forgotten that, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So here are the two extremes that appear in the religious world and sometimes arise among brethren. And let me say, brethren, it's quite apparent that there be those that take advantage of these two extremes and emphasize the extremes to the gross misrepresentation of most brethren. Why, you will hear people sometimes saying that members of the church are just a bunch of people that believe in rule keeping and working their way to heaven. That's not so. It's never been so. But that extreme provokes that kind of outlook. And then on the other hand, there be those that say, all we must do is emphasize Christ and doctrine is not all that important. Well, that certainly is misrepresentative of the Lord's people and the Lord's church. Such has never characterized the brotherhood generally. And it's a shame that people will exploit these two extremes to the mispresentation and misrepresentation of the New Testament church and those that make it up. These two extremes are very destructive to the spreading of the truth about the religion of Christ. And then we're quick to run with labels. And I think things need to be labeled in order for identification purposes, but there be those that, here's people that believe in law and believe in commands and believe in obedience and believe that you ought to live up to what the Lord has said to be done, and they're accused of being legalists. Just a bunch of law keepers. Like there's something wrong with law keeping. And on the other hand, is somebody over here that said, well, we must emphasize Christ and the love of Christ and the gentleness of Christ and the goodness of Christ. And they're looked upon as being a bunch of liberals because they never emphasize man's responsibility toward God at all. So what does that do? That fragments the body of Christ. Can't you see that? That tears the church apart. It makes brethren with animosity one toward the other. And neither one of them are properly representing the church or teaching the whole counsel of God. They are not handling aright the word of truth. The truth of the matter is that New Testament Christianity includes both of these views, not either one to the extreme of the other, not either one to the exclusiveness of the other. We must preach Christ and His doctrine. I've entitled this sermon, for want of a better name, The Man and His Plan. Because the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did have a plan and does have a plan, and that plan, of course, is in the New Testament. Now, we have to realize, don't we, that Jesus, the Son of God, He's the very foundation upon which everything about Christianity is built. He's the very founder of it. He is the head of the church. He is the lawgiver. He's the one who shed His blood on our behalf. He's the heart and core and center of New Testament Christianity. All Christianity and our hope is founded on the person. Not upon ourselves, but upon that person, the Son of God that was sent here. In fact, the whole of our service before God relates to Christ, because He's the only one through whom we can go to reach the Father. The central personality of the Bible is where our focus certainly must be. And the church is important, and the organization of the church is important. But why is it important? Because of its relationship to its head. Because of its relationship to the person, Jesus Christ. Baptism is one of the points of doctrine in the overall doctrine, the faith of Jesus Christ. But why is baptism important? It's because of its relationship to Jesus Christ, the person. Otherwise, it would have no significance or benefit or importance whatsoever to any of us if it were not for the relationship to Christ. This is how we get into Christ, is by being baptized. The Lord's Supper, a most meaningful ritual, a most meaningful ceremony. And why is it of significance? Why is it not? Because of its relationship to the Christ that died on the cross, His broken body and shed blood. That's why these things are important. It is because of the person. But brethren, let's understand something else as we emphasize the person. Christ taught doctrine. the man presented a plan. He has a system of salvation. He has presented a pattern of worship. He does have do's and don'ts that are to characterize the lives of those who profess to be his disciples. And therefore, it makes a difference what kind of plan of salvation that you believe or practice. It makes a difference how you worship God. Our salvation, ultimately, of course, is attributable to God the Father through His Son. As we've mentioned before, because of the love of God for sinful man and His unmerited favor, His grace, His mercy toward man. Man unable to retrieve himself from the onslaught and the wages of his own self-imposed damnation due to sin, God looked upon him in this light of His grace and love and mercy and decided, I will provide a way whereby man can escape hell and be in eternal fellowship with me. And what did He do? Why, He sent His only begotten Son, the second person of the Godhead, or Hood. And this Christ came to this earth and He lived a perfect life and thereby set the example how we're to live. He fulfilled the prophecies. He proved Himself to be who He claimed to be. And He died on the cross, shedding His blood as an atonement for our sins, and rose from the dead, God raising Him so that through Him we might have life and have it more abundantly, not only here, but more importantly, eternally. Now that's what God has done. But in this plan that involved this person also taught law, rules, do's, don'ts, commands, promises, conditional promises that we must conform to and that we must obey. And if we do not obey them, even though He died on the cross, we'll never receive any benefit of His blood. And when we obey the commands of God, we are in no way, shape, form, or fashion, even so much as suggesting the implication that we're earning salvation. Not at all. Man's obedience to the commands of God is conforming to God's way, whereby man is able to partake of the benefits that God has so graciously, lovingly, mercifully, sacrificially made possible for us. We don't earn anything and can't. And it's a misrepresentation of the church to ever contend that we do believe that or ever have taught that. Maybe some mistakenly have. You don't know what all my people might have taught or misconceptions that people have, but that's not the gospel and that has not represented our brethren. But neither have brethren been willing to dismiss the necessity of conformity and submission and obedience, as if the love of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God was just going to cover everything regardless of what we do. That would not be a true presentation of the gospel either. You see, this man, this God that became man, this deity that took on the form of flesh, He did specify certain conditions in order for man to be saved. And one of them is, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. Another is, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Another is, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before the Father and in heaven. Another is, he that believeth and is baptized. He taught faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. What is that? That's doctrine. From what source did it come? It came from the person. And friend, I hope that you're beginning to see that there is no separation, no possibility to separate the man from his plan. You can't preach the man unless you give honor and respect to his plan. Nor can you preach his plan and the benefit of his plan without emphasizing the man. They go absolutely together and they are inseparable. And we've got to understand that in order to keep things in balance. We've got to acknowledge that, because if we don't, we'll get things out of perspective and we'll drift one extreme toward the other. We won't be handling the Word of God aright. Now, to emphasize here for just a few moments, the utter impossibility of preaching Christ and not preaching doctrine. Please just take note of Jesus in the presence of Nicodemus that you read in John the 3rd chapter, where he taught, "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That involves even being baptized according to the teachings of the Spirit. There is a doctrine of the new birth. Now, why is that important? Because of the person that taught it. When Jesus gave his apostles their great commission in Matthew's report, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Well, when we teach, what do you teach? You teach teaching. What is teaching? That's doctrine. Jesus is saying, "Go ye therefore and indoctrinate." Teach people doctrine. Now, how in the world are you going to emphasize Christ and in any way minimize or disrespect his doctrine? How are you going to show the importance and the necessity of doctrine except you emphasize the person that is behind it and the one that is authorized it? Let's look at the Pentecost, with which nearly all of you are very, very familiar. In Acts chapter 2, what did the Apostle Peter preach? He preached there Christ. He showed how that Christ fulfilled those prophecies. He showed that he was the Son of David. He showed that he is on God's throne. This same Jesus whom ye crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. He preached Christ. But what did he also preach? He preached how to get into Christ. When the people asked men and brethren, "What shall we do?" He told them, "Doctrine, repent and be baptized." He couldn't preach Christ and those people enjoy the benefits of Christ without preaching them the will of Christ as to how to benefit from what he had done. And there was no separation of the two. Another example I think that we all can see is in Acts chapter 8. When Philip joined himself to the chariot of the Ethiopian was riding along there reading from the prophet Isaiah. It's in that section that we now call the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. He was reading about the suffering of one that was to come, and he was confused of whom the prophet spoke, of himself or some other. And Philip began at that point in Scripture, and he preached to him what? Or who? He preached to him Christ. The person. But you see, a little bit later on, as they went down the road, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Doctrine! Where did he learn that? Well, he did learn it from Isaiah. He didn't learn it back in Ethiopia. He didn't learn it from the old Mosaic law. He learned it when Philip preached Christ. Because when Philip preached Christ, he preached the doctrine of Christ. That's one of the ways that you preach Christ. Yes, you preach Christ when you preach His virgin birth or His resurrection or many other things pertaining to Him. But you preach Christ when you teach the abstinence of things that are evil. You preach Christ when you teach that we are to sing and worship. You preach Christ when you show the government of the Lord's church. Why? Because the person taught the plan, and you can't separate the man from the plan. And that's the point we want to emphasize to us tonight, and always keep that in mind. Let me just give one other illustration about the Apostle Paul. Paul went to the city of Athens. These people had never heard about Christ. And they listened to him for a while. And they finally remarked, "What will this babbler say? He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods." Why? Because he preached unto them Christ, or Jesus, and the resurrection. Verse 18 of Acts 17. What was his sermon? He preached Jesus. What else does Paul preach? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 2 and verse 2, he said, "For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus and him crucified." Again, in the 19th verse of 2 Corinthians 1, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us." What did he preach? Who did he preach? He preached Christ. But as you go through and you listen to the words of Paul, He preached the absolute necessity of believing in Christ. And that's the 16th chapter. The Philippian jailer asked him, what must I do to be saved? He told him he had to believe in Christ. He taught repentance there in the same city of Athens in Acts chapter 17. The times of this ignorance God waked up, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Paul, what are you preaching? I'm preaching doctrine. I thought you said you preach Christ. I am preaching Christ. How are you preaching Christ? I'm preaching Christ by preaching the doctrine of Christ. You can't separate the two. It was the Apostle Paul that said, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10, verse 10. It was the Apostle Paul that said, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, did put on Christ. And he wasn't varying from his theme of preaching Christ when he preached doctrine. He was consistent with his theme. And when we preach the whole counsel of God as he said he did, Acts 20 verse 26, we'll preach Christ and his doctrine. We'll emphasize the man and his plan. And brethren, hear me well. When anybody, any preacher, any teacher presents before you a message exclusively of one side to the neglect of the other side, though he may not preach the whole thing at one particular lesson, when he emphasizes one to the neglect of the other, he's unbalanced in his teaching, and if you follow that, you're going to be unbalanced in your following. And that's the point I want to make to us tonight, and I'll tell you why. Because this unbalanced idea is what dominates the religious scene in our society. And these things are misrepresenting the Lord's church and causing havoc in various congregations, one place or another. And it ought not so to be. There's no excuse for it. We want to handle aright the word of truth. And if we do that, while we're going to show our respect for the person by showing our respect for that person's teaching. Now let me close with this point. In John chapter 12 verse 48, Jesus has told us that it is by his words that we're going to be judged. Oh Lord, some of them said in Matthew 25, didn't we do this mighty work in your name, and didn't we do this, and didn't we do that, and didn't we do the other? And the Lord has the audacity to come along and tell them to depart from me, I never knew you. Why? They emphasized the person, but they neglected what the person said. Now, I think a very easy illustration of this that we all can grasp. Here's a son or a daughter. Oh, they love their mom and daddy. They say. They'll even send mom and daddy a birthday card. They'll send them an anniversary card. They may even call them up on phone for, Mom, I love you. And just go diametrically opposed to everything Mom and Daddy ever taught them. Now, do you think that's showing proper respect for Mom and Daddy? Here's a son or daughter. Son, I would like for you to do this. I want you to do that. You do this. You do that. And they just rebelliously disobey and go their own way. Oh, I love my Mom and Daddy. Do you? Well, now, let's apply that to our service to Jesus Christ. We can talk about how much we love the Lord, but if we do not obey his doctrine, it is for naught. If you love me, if you love me, the person, keep my commandments, my doctrine. Brethren, we can't separate the two. We ought not even want to try to separate the two. Why should we want to separate the two? We show our respect to our Lord by respecting what he said. And I trust that you get that point, and that's the single point of the lesson in its entirety tonight. The man and his plan. Preach Christ by preaching his doctrine. And you'll never be able to take one without the other. If we'll keep that in focus, why we will always be in the proper balance of handling aright the word of truth. Now, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we preach and teach and urge from the gospel that you love the Lord and look to the Lord, but you come to the Lord by obeying His teaching of faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. And we encourage you to do that tonight, if you have not as yet done it. And if you need to be restored, restored back to the person and to the Father through this person. But how? According to the doctrine that's been taught, repentance, confession, and prayer. That's the way you will come back to the Father through Christ. If you're subject to His call, will you come?